Where do we think the committee would put BYU in the rankings today? Hey, quarterback Jake Retzlaff is getting plenty of national recognition for leading the Cougars to this 8-0 start. What's his best attribute on or off the field this season?
Plus, the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, is going to join us. Look back at BYU's 8-0 start, the Utah game, and basketball tonight. Speaking of which, we get our first look at Kevin Young's new Cougars. What do we expect to see in that exhibition opener just hours from now?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, October 30th, Halloween Eve. I am Spencer Linton alongside former BYU ball boy, Dave McCann.
That's right. When I was 12, I was under the basket, rebounding for those guys. And the reason I bring that up is I was also 12 when the Soviet Union came and played an exhibition game here. Place was packed. BYU beat them. They became the first college team to beat the Russian national team. And back then it was a thing. Well, tonight will be the largest exhibition crowd since that night for a BYU game. And Colorado Christian, we apologize in advance. They are walking into a buzzsaw as Cougar Nation, at least those in the house, get to see what Kevin Young's put together.
So much hype around this team. And deservedly so. You want a first look? And they're not on TV right now, you want to find a seat in that building to make it happen.
I know folks that are going to that game tonight, and they said, I have never gone to an exhibition game, but I'm going tonight.
I'm going tonight. Yeah. Yes.
Got to see it.
The interest and intrigue are at an all-time high. That is for sure. That said, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
BYU is the better team overall, the better team at essentially every single position. It's what Jake does on a down-by-down basis. There's all the requisite arm talent that he has, and then there's the fine motor skills, including the footwork and his shoulder placement and how he moves around in the pocket.
BYU's 8-0, baby.
Indeed they are. What's trending, presented by Tyndale Ford, part of the Tyndale Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. The 8-0 start, Jake Retzlaff at the heart of that, and now BYU finds themselves 6 days out, along with the rest of major college football, from finding out the initial college football playoff rankings. I said a few weeks ago, I just want to see where they will put BYU if the Cougars are unbeaten, which is maybe why I had so much almost nervousness going into that game at UCF, because I just wanted to see what an undefeated BYU with their resume would get. So, Dave, let's ask the question today. Now that the Cougars are undefeated and we're pushing forward 6 days away from seeing a poll that we're all very excited about, where do you think the committee will put BYU as an unbeaten team?
I'm just glad there's going to actually be one poll that matters, right? Because there's so many. And you're like, is that one right? Is this one right? Here's the one that matters, the one that comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah, and if it came out yesterday, where do you think they'd put them?
You look at where everyone else thinks they put them. I mean, ESPN rolled out their 12 experts and their projections for this group. 11 of the 12 had BYU as a 4 seed, meaning they think they're going to win the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And so they're in. One didn't have them in at all. We saw somebody thinking they're going to go to the Alamo Bowl. So there's some things all around there. Our friend Brett McMurphy of this show's got them in the playoff as an at-large. Doesn't think they win the league per se, but they'll be amongst the 12. It feels to me like they're sitting number 9 in the AP Top 25. And right now that's what ESPN has used in their college football playoff show to determine their projections and their rankings. So they've been in that. I think it'd be about 7. I think about 7, which feels right. A lot of people think they should be 7 in the AP. I'm not too caught up in that. I'm just glad they're in the top 10, considering where they started and, more importantly, where they're going. So I think when it comes out Tuesday, I think it'll be 7 for a variety of reasons, but most importantly, they've got 2 top 25 wins.
Sure.
Their strength of schedule compared to those that they're wrestling with.
The strength of record.
Record is a no-brainer. And I think in this initial poll, computers and stuff will play in. The human element seems to come later in the year when you go, who's got the eye test? And then that's when you get squirrely. But I think the numbers will back BYU to be around 7.
The human element is always the X factor.
Yeah.
And remember those wonderful
political part.
BCS ratings?
Right.
Oh, I know. It's an acronym that not a lot of BYU fans like. And frankly, college football fans were happy to see it gone. But for what it's worth, the BCS computer system, how it was set up, was released a couple of days ago, and it had BYU at number 8. And I thought, that's interesting. So the computers even in that BCS formula that was clearly flawed, like BYU as a top 10 team, like him as a top 8 team. I believe that BYU will show up right around there. Now, that's not necessarily where I would put them or what I think they deserve in the moment. I believe BYU, because of the strength of record and everything you pointed out, Dave, two top 25 wins against teams that have only lost to BYU. And by the skin of their teeth, Kansas State and SMU both survived on Saturday, but yeah, still.
They're winners.
The only team that has beaten both of those currently ranked foes is BYU. That's why the Cougars have the number 3 strength of record. So if the committee truly values that, and I think they do, then BYU is going to end up, I believe, somewhere around number 8. I think they should probably be a notch higher than that. But if, again, we're projecting where we think the committee would put BYU today.
Yeah.
Before the games happen this weekend, too.
I think they've got to be honest to the numbers because they've gone to 12, right? And they've gone to 12 to include more qualified teams who are always left out of the 4. So if they look at the numbers that you're talking about and then look away from them, then why'd you go to 12?
It's interesting because there's this idea that because BYU is not in a name brand conference currently with Texas and Oklahoma gone, even though they have beaten two teams that are currently ranked, they're not name brand wins because Kansas State and SMU are not your typical college football blue bloods. Even though they're better than some of those teams, if BYU had a name brand win, like a big name on the schedule that they had beaten, even if they were worse than, say, an SMU, weirdly, I think that would help BYU with the human element. There's flaws in it for sure.
Yeah, and you think about Kansas State. If Kansas State had beaten BYU and they are undefeated, they were number 13 when they came in here.
Because the expectation was for them to be good, and they are good.
Yeah, they'd be way up, and it wouldn't even be a consideration. Well, it's Kansas State there, the bell cow in the Big 12. But because it's BYU and from where they started, you know, picked like 13th out of 16 teams, and they've just charged forward, and they manhandled Kansas State, I think there's a lot of folks that go, I don't know where to put them.
I'm telling you, Dave, if BYU had beaten a USC or a Michigan, even those teams are down this year, they got the cachet. Yeah. And people look and say, oh, that was a good win. It was a good win against USC, or it was a good win against Michigan.
It was a good name win, yeah.
So there are flaws all over the place. The one rating that I've been looking at that is not ESPN FPI, because that does not like BYU, it deals with preseason projections and whatnot, is Bill Connolly's SP Plus. And as you look at comparing resumes, and just for fun, we took the 7, 8, 9, and 10 teams in the AP poll, which are Tennessee, Notre Dame, of course, BYU, and Texas A&M. You look at that bottom row, SP Plus has BYU at number 26. So, and I like Bill Connolly, and I think his rating is pretty comprehensive. We have used it for more than a decade on this show. That one is the least favorable number for the Cougars. Will that some way knock BYU down a spot or two compared to Tennessee at 10, Notre Dame 7, Texas A&M 11? Interestingly enough, BYU is the only unbeaten of those 4 teams, Dave. Okay, and they have the best strength of record at number 3 in that group of 4. So I'm excited to see what the committee actually values.
Yeah.
We will know next Tuesday. We will know what they actually value. If BYU comes in at 10, it's like, okay, what's going on? Like, let's ask about BYU. And ESPN and the pundits, they will, because BYU is one of those hot topics. The Big 12, frankly, is like, are they going to get 1 or 2 teams in? So I'm very excited to see what they actually value on a resume. But I think if they were to do it right now, I'd put them at number 8.
I know the national media really wants to think that Notre Dame didn't play at Northern Illinois and get beat at home.
Which is weird.
They don't want to think that happened because they just want to think Notre Dame should just be in because of Notre Dame. But they have one of the worst losses in the country on their home field. So that has to matter when this poll comes out.
Mm. Will it?
It has to, right?
Will it? Like the body of work.
The computers will say, yeah, the people, that's where we get.
What have you done? Yeah, what is your body of work? And are they going to just say, well, we feel like that was more of an anomaly? Like, what? Those excuses have been used in the past. Well, you look at what they've done the majority of the time. Like, you throw out the outlier. Will they do that? Will they look at a team's perceived best win and or worst performance in a win or loss and be like, okay, let's throw those out and let's just look at what's in the middle? I don't know. I am fascinated to see what they actually, or how they actually approach it and what they really value in this.
Yeah, I'm having a flashback as we sat here in August, you know, when Jeremy had like 9 months of vacation. and we were talking about, happy birthday, Jeremy. We were talking about how BYU would get to six and maybe get to a bowl game.
Six wins.
And how great of a season that would be.
Now we're talking about how they might get to number six in the college football
playoff.
They
might get hosed by Notre Dame and be tenth in the college football poll. Sports is amazing. Sports
really
does this.
Yes.
And it gives us this this debate, and you see it all over social media when the AP poll comes out. It's not, hey, we're number nine. It's, why aren't we number seven? That's how quick we change our mindsets and expectations as sports plays out. And I think it's an awesome conversation. I think it's amazing that on Tuesday when the college football playoff poll comes out, all Cougar Nation will be watching.
Yes.
Going, how high are we? Are we gonna get justly placed, or are we gonna be mad?
Something else is happening on next Tuesday. I can't remember.
We'll just focus
on the college football playoffs.
There's that season opener over there at the Merritt Center that we're calling.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be working
that
night. Then there's that other thing. It's like the super of all Super Tuesdays.
Holy cow. Yeah. I just had somebody ask, Spencer, what is the SP Plus and why doesn't it like BYU? It involves offensive and defensive efficiencies. And because BYU's numbers are not staggeringly good, that, in a way, I guess, hurts them. And it's opponent-adjusted win totals. Like, how there are a lot of things that factor into this. So BYU has played, sure, some not great teams, and their efficiency numbers are not off the charts good. So those are the things that are pushing BYU down in the SP+. But when you look at strength of record and 8-0, like, I don't know how that is not the loudest argument for BYU.
Yeah, and I'm a believer, and even in 84 when they're undefeated, they're debating the whole way, and they've been debating ever since. And because of 84, we got to where we are today with computers and how to set up the best teams playing for the national title. But I'm a believer, you just win. You just beat Utah, and then you move on. You beat Kansas at home, mm-hmm. and then Arizona. You just keep doing that. Then pretty much the debate falls to the wayside,
yeah.
and you're just there.
For what it's worth, in the history of the college football playoff rankings, in the last three seasons, okay, so 2021, 2022, 2023, if you're an undefeated team when that first poll is released, no team has been outside the top 10. The worst, in fact, P4. Okay, let me clarify. Power four teams. So if you are an undefeated Power 4 team, the worst was Wake Forest in 2021 at number 9. So can we hope for BYU to be at least number 9, I think that's
Absolutely. Totally
fair.
Absolutely. And when it comes out, we'll expect to be there. It's like, yeah, that's right, as opposed to what?
Question of the day. 6 days out from the first college football playoff rankings of the season, where do you think the committee would put BYU if the rankings were released today, and why? At CougFan1586 on X says, I trust the CFP committee will look at strength of record much more than the AP voters and name brand much less than the AP voters. I hope you're right, CougFan1586, because I think that the human element will still exist, in at least in part here. They continue. Therefore, I decree BYU shall be ranked number 6 in the first college football playoff poll, jumping Notre Dame, Miami, and Tennessee.
A decree. He's made a decree.
You're going to jump Miami? I don't think BYU is going to jump an undefeated Miami. That's not happening.
No.
This is not happening.
Miami needs to help. They need to get beat.
Sure.
And they move out.
Maybe jump one of Notre Dame and Tennessee. We'll see. Hashtag BYU on an X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff is in the news once again, Dave.
He's named to the Davey O'Brien quarterback class of 2024 yesterday. That makes him an official candidate for the Davey O'Brien trophy awarded the best quarterback in college football. So we started thinking, what is it that everyone likes about Jake? What are his attributes that have launched him in this 8-game winning streak to, he's on all the talk shows now, everyone knows his story, he's been on SportsCenter, CBS, ABC, so what is it? What is it about him that has brought him into the forefront?
So many things he's doing well right now, and that too, like his story arc has been wild to watch.
Yeah.
When he was projected to be the worst starting quarterback in a 16-team Big 12 in June, and now here he is at the top of the conference with Shedeur Sanders through 8 games. Amazing.
Deservedly so.
Amazing. His best attribute, and I hear this from a lot of people, Spencer, he's just a gamer. What is a gamer? How do you define that? If you had to look in the Oxford Dictionary at gamer in sports terminology, what would that entail? And so I thought about that, and I think it's two things. One, clutch factor, Dave. If you are a gamer, you have a high clutch factor, and he clearly does. And built into that is leadership. Because when you have the clutch factor and leadership, your guys trust you, they make plays for you, they want to, proverbially speaking, go to war with you on that football field, Jake has it. In fact, Kalani Sitake was talking about Jake and his clutch factor, especially in his two-minute drills and such.
I love the way he's been playing. I love his leadership and just the way he is around our team. He's starting to really come into his own, and so I'm excited to see the future with him.
I'm excited to see the future too. But to me, I mean, just let's take a handful of plays. And we'll start with the SMU game. When Jake did not play well, particularly the whole game, but when he needed to make the plays, Dave, he did. And so he makes the pitch to Miles Davis and takes an absolute shot, sets up BYU for the game, go-ahead score. Then the Oklahoma State drive, big long run, really high IQ play. Finds Lassiter, touchdown. You know what? Good things happen when you put in the work and luck is there a little bit, sure. But then even in the two-minute drill against UCF, the touchdown pass to Chase Roberts. I'm thinking on the sideline, BYU just needs to get in field goal position and try and kick a field goal and take a 10-point lead into the break. And Jake clearly had different things in mind.
You know, all of a sudden, we're talking about Jake in the same way we talk about some of these former BYU legends where the opponent scores and they left too much time on the clock. John Beck, Beck to Harlene. The Utes left a minute on the clock. Ty Detmer, if he had a minute, he was going down. Max Hall, if he has a minute, he's going down. McMahon, Young, Bosco, Utes down to the list. When it's crunch time, can they get down there and score? And Jake's starting to show that I should be in that list. When you think about attributes I came up with, let's see, doesn't make the same mistake twice, doesn't panic, extends plays with his mobility.
Yes.
Confident, he represents. He was great on Jim Rome yesterday and other shows. He's 8-0. Only five quarterbacks in program history have started 8-0. 100 years of BYU football, he's one of those five. And he appreciates the moment that he is in, which I love. He's in the moment.
Yes.
He's where his feet are, as some people like to say. And he's got a smile on his face. And that makes him fun to watch. I'm curious to see what he's going to do up at Utah.
Top five of all Big 12 quarterbacks, as we just saw on the screen, in total yards a game, passing touchdowns, yards per attempt, quarterback efficiency. The numbers are very, very strong against what I'm saying is has not been an easy schedule when you have to go to SMU and win on the road and then figure out what BYU had not done, how to win road games in the Big 12, and you finally get that monkey out the back and you beat Baylor. And then you got to pull out a miracle against Oklahoma State when, again, things were not going well for BYU. He's got that clutch gene.
No quarterback in school history has gone 8-0 against this kind of schedule.
They haven't faced
He's in a rare spot.
Yeah, they haven't faced it, let alone gone 8-0 against it.
Yeah.
Incredible. All right, BYU men's basketball tonight, exhibition home opener against Colorado Christian. Is it going to be a sellout? It might be.
I think it is. I think all the tickets are gone for the whole season.
An exhibition against Colorado Christian. What are you hoping to learn about BYU basketball in Kevin Young's first exhibition?
I'm curious to see how chemistry is coming along because that's what carries you through the hard times in the toughest conference in America. So here's their first game against it's an exhibition, but actual game in front of fans against another opponent.
Yes.
Well, we'll start to see that. And then I'm curious about the rotation. They're so deep with so many guys. How do you pick the five? How do you pick the eight? And we'll start to see that a little bit too tonight. I imagine we'll see everybody play tonight. But I'm a chemistry and hey, what's Kevin Young's rotation with
yes,
this group?
The rotation is a loaded topic for sure because there are 12 guys in that room that all think they're going to play 25 to 30 minutes. But that's what you want. They all believe they deserve that. And you love that competitive fire. I want to watch them play defense.
Yeah.
We've heard a ton about the peel switch defense that BYU is going to implement. I'm just interested to see how the Cougars execute that. Certainly the rotation is very interesting, but Richie Saunders has apparently gone next level. And I'm interested to see if there is something that we all see where it's like, oh, Richie's taken that part of his game to another level. We know he's awesome and he has been awesome, but the coaches have talked about it. And apparently in the exhibition or the scrimmage that was closed against Boise State, Richie was just next level gangbusters.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
So I'm just interested to see like what has allowed him to go next level.
Well, you can follow the basketball game tonight with Greg Wrubell and Mark Durant on BYU Radio. That starts at 9 Eastern time. Those two start their 28th season working together. The season opener is Tuesday against Central Arkansas with Spencer and Blaine and me on the call on ESPN+. Lots of hoops. It's coming fast.
Hey, speaking of, after the break, the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, joins us. We discuss 8-0 BYU football, maybe some projections on next week's college football playoff poll, and certainly some basketball. This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Dave McCann. Joining us now over in the Cougar Council Room is the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, here to talk football, basketball, and a little bit of BYU women's soccer. So, Greg, nice to have you.
Good to be here.
Good vibes all around. 8-0. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and start there. In this journey, and an unexpected one, what has been your favorite part about the improbability and the reality now that BYU is a top 10 team and they're 8-0 in year two of Big 12 play?
Well, I like the fact that it truly proved that you can't predict the Big 12 year to year. There's going to be a surprise team every year that rises up. Last year, you could argue it was West Virginia. This year, clearly it was BYU. And yet, you look back for the clues. What were the clues that BYU might have been this kind of team or could be this kind of team? And you saw it in that they weren't that far away from postseason play last year. You could argue, you know, they could have and should have been in the postseason with those last two games going the way they did against Oklahoma State and Oklahoma prior to that. So they weren't too far away. They were 5-7, but they weren't by any stretch, you know, a mess of a team. It was just a team that came short in a couple of games and had a quarterback change. And then when you take a team that wasn't that far away and bring almost everybody back, well, that's the key today in college football, is can you somehow find continuity amidst the sea of change that has been brought about with the portal and NIL, and BYU did have that. So a team that's not far away with a lot of the same pieces back, a couple of coaching changes. Yeah. There were some indications that BYU could be good. Now, 8-0 good, I don't think anyone saw that coming, but I think you do look for that. Who might be the team? Well, try and find those commonalities. Teams that weren't that far away and teams that do bring back a lot of the previous team. That was BYU. Now, you know, the SMU game is kind of an escape. The Oklahoma State game is kind of an escape. You know, but you need those kind of games in special seasons where you look back and in 84, it's maybe the Hawaii game. You look back and say, oh, that might have been the game, but you find a way to win a low-scoring grinder.
The Wyoming shootout.
Yeah. Sure. So you look back and you say, well, there's a game or two that might have gone the other way, but we found a way, and those become the linchpin games in the special season.
David Nixon and Blaine Fowler on AFR the other night made a good point. They discussed, much like what you're saying is, especially on defense, they're the same guys for the most part in the right spots, whereas last year they weren't in the right spots. And that's the big difference between winning and losing.
And in the second year of a good scheme with Jay Hill, it took a lot of getting to know each other in a lot of ways in year one. But they were back and operating under the same scheme, and a second year makes a big difference too. And even in games that they're or in games where plays happen against BYU, the defensive coaches are saying it's this guy peeking inside. It's this guy not twisting when he was supposed to. Like, they're identifying the pretty easy fixes that have resulted in maybe big plays the other way. But overall, this defense is really clicking.
Yeah. We just were discussing the college football playoff poll. It's released next Tuesday on
Election
Super
night.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
There's basketball for BYU.
Yes, there's a lot going on that night.
The college football playoff poll. And yes, then an election that we are going to watch unfold. But we're asking today, if the committee were to release the poll today, where do you think they would place BYU?
Well, it really comes down to, I mean, they're either going to have BYU or Iowa State as the seeded team or the unseeded team out of the Big 12. I think that's what it comes down to. So which team will get the four and which team will be in the lower part of the poll as the unseeded team? Because top-ranked power conference team, or rather the top four highest-ranked conference champions, or if you will, conference, you know, will be the top four seeds.
Sure.
And if BYU is the best seeded team out of the Big 12, well, that's where they would be, is in that, probably in that four spot. All that needs to happen is the result this weekend between Texas Tech and Iowa State. What happens in that game? Does what happens in that game persuade the committee to move Iowa State above BYU? Both would be 8-0 and 5-0 in the Big 12. They'll compare records, they'll compare resumes, they'll look at all the different metrics and decide which of those two teams are the most deserving. If Texas Tech upsets Iowa State, well, then there's no question whatsoever where BYU is going to be, I think, next Tuesday.
Talk about Jake Retzlaff. Both of you guys interviewed him after the Oklahoma State game last year, maybe his lowest point. And so yesterday on Jim Rome, he's at his peak, you know, or heading toward his peak. What's the difference? What's the difference between Jake in November and Jake today?
He's played a season of football, he played four games last year and eight games this year. He started a season of college football. And I thought Aaron Roderick put it great on Coordinator's Corner on Monday. He said he's doing what every quarterback's done, whether it's Zach Wilson or Jake, they all take time to grow. And it's taken a season to have Jake look the way he's looking right now. It's a natural progression. It was a tough spot for Jake to go in last year, replacing Keaton Slovis late in the year where things are getting a little sideways and the losses are piling up and injuries have piled up. And it was tough for him. He handled it. In fact, I go back to his West Virginia postgame interview, which was his first start. That was a tough night in Morgantown. But he was the first guy out to take questions, and I thought the interview after a loss in his first start told me as much about him as almost anything over the ensuing 12 games. From that first, and I know it's only an interview, but what he showed in that game on the field and then how he approached it after the game kind of told me and Hans and everyone else in Cougar Nation, that's the guy you want. And it's a vibe thing, it's a feel thing, it's something you see it when you recognize it when you see it, and I think Jake has it. He has all the things you want to see from your starting quarterback, and yeah, after 12 starts, he's won eight of them, and most of them are power conference starts.
Six
we're talking
of them.
About here.
Well, sorry, 10 starts, but right. He's won six of those against 10 power five.
Right. So he's really coming along, and how confident do you feel now with that guy at the helm? I mean, you'd rather have nobody else back there. He's a dual threat, a true dual threat. He finally got passed up this past week for the season rushing lead by L.J. Martin. It was bound to happen at some point.
Eight games. Thankfully.
Jake doesn't have to carry us anymore. And L.J. too becomes a great secondary storyline. You realize just how much you miss him. They got by. And got kudos to BYU for getting by and winning really important games where they weren't at full strength. I mean, you don't just drop out your starting center, Connor Pay, and say, you know, nothing's going to happen. But it was almost like they just kind of picked up where they left off. Now, granted, Connor Pay is coaching those guys the entire way. You want Connor Pay in there. But, man, Bruce and Sonny and Austin, these guys have really come together and found a way to make it so that it doesn't kill you, right? Doesn't really seriously hurt you. And then the running back room, shout out to those guys. Without LJ and Hinkley for those games, they tested their depth and depth responded. But now that LJ's back, man, that's your guy. That's your workhorse guy. And then you can also drop in Hinkley and end the game with Hinkley being the guy. Last week at UCF. There's just so much to like about this team right now.
All right, we got soccer and hoops to talk about, so let's finish with football here. 18 years ago, where were you?
I was on the sideline, about the 10-yard line at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
Rice-Eccles?
Yeah.
I was in Vegas working. You were on the mic calling Beck to Harlene.
Yeah.
The last time BYU's won up there in Salt Lake. Do you feel that history is ready to kind of get a reboot, an update here this week from Saturday?
You know, I sure hope. I've had a lot of kind of somber endings of nights up there in the last 15 plus years, and that one's an all-timer that we're seeing on the screen right now, and I'd nothing better than for a game up there to go that way again. The Cougars are due, right?
They're due. I don't know if I want to see a last-second drama.
No, Kalani doesn't want that either.
He wants
the easy wins. He doesn't want the dramatic ones. But either way they come, however they come, we'll take them.
Great stuff. All right, as Dave has mentioned, a couple of other things we'd like to hit on with you, Greg. Speaking of BYU men's basketball, they, too, enjoying immaculate vibes as they enter their season. It's been a wild offseason. They get Colorado Christian tonight. What are you hoping to learn about BYU men's hoops tonight when they finally get to play against another team and we can watch it?
Yeah. We know, you know, go to the internet, you can find out what they did against a pretty good team on the weekend. That's a good indicator. The team they took on in the secret scrimmage is a good basketball team. And so to perform the way they did in that experience is very positive. Rotation-wise, I don't know yet, you know, what it's going to look like and how we're, and if we can judge off of one exhibition how it's going to go game to game. I really do sense that that Kevin Young is going to be a hot hand guy, and he's going to react to the flow of the game and where the buckets are coming from and kind of play that way. I don't think it's going to be so rigid and defined as to where things have to be. I think it's going to be free flowing and reactive and deep. And, you know, we talk about 7-8 man rotations, and this, with this team, you want to see guys like 9, 10, 11, right? You want to see those because they're great players too. And so it's as deep with aggregate talent as I think BYU's ever been. And it's not a bad problem to have to try and figure out how to parcel out the minutes. As long as you're winning, everyone should be happy.
I've got an article in the Deseret News today with your analyst, Mark Durant. You guys, 28 years together. And I thought what was interesting is one thing he's looking forward to seeing is Kevin Young coach a college basketball game, which none of us have seen before. And it's just so different from the NBA game. And in Mark's words, he's assembled an amazing roster, and now it's, well, let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
And how interested are you to just see how he coaches?
That's the thing. 8 fewer minutes to go around, right, in this, you know, with your players. And who knows who has to carry. I don't know if anybody has to carry a heavy minute load this year. We'll see. There could be nights where guys play 35, 36 because they're playing so well and they're not in foul trouble. But, man, what a luxury. And I don't want to, exaggerate too much, but whatever his starting five is, okay, you could go to your next five. You could do a hockey line change, and you'd have a really good second team out there. You'd have a really good basketball team with the second group of five. The way this talent's been assembled right now, what a luxury to have to know you could basically play, you know, 2 5-man teams and expect, if not identical, maybe comparable results. And that's kind of what we're looking at right now. Again, it's early, and we've got to see it all come together. But the aggregate talent level is there to let you believe that that's the kind of group he's got.
Greg Wrubell is with us on BYU Sports Nation. We'll finish with BYU Women's Soccer. And, Dave, I would like to point out to you and to everybody else listening that Greg and I were at dinner on Friday night.
We were.
In Orlando with Tom Holmo and Brian Santiago and some great BYU people. And Greg looked at me and he said, as a tie game, he said, BYU is going to find a way to score a goal. They're going to win this game against Texas Tech. Yeah. You watch. It's going to happen. And then like 2 minutes later, bang, we're all on our feet. We're clapping. We're super excited. And it happened. You manifested it.
Yeah, we all had our little devices out. Following. We're trying to socialize and be, you know, proper people. Yes. But we're also distracted by the fact that we've got the game going on.
Yeah, the Churro Disney World.
No, he knew. But you said it with such surety, Greg, like, no, they're going to score, and BYU will win this game.
And as soon as they walked off that free kick, I thought, here's the moment. And it was the moment.
You said
it
that.
It turned out.
Here's the moment.
Yeah.
So quarterfinals Saturday against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Oklahoma State wins a wild one this morning. Yeah. They were down to Cincinnati with 4 minutes to go, 2-1. They win 3-2 with 2 goals in the final 4 minutes. So the 4-seed BYU, 5-seed Oak State Saturday.
Does BYU need to win that game to get in the NCAA tournament?
I kind of think they're in. I think the RPI is in a spot, and the Texas Tech win is huge for BYU.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And Oklahoma State's good enough team that it won't hurt you at all in the RPI should you not win that game. I think a win is great to have, but I think they're already in. Yeah, I really do.
Saturday morning in Kansas City. It just adds to another great 9-10 day window of BYU sports, almost unprecedented. With what we got.
Novembers get pretty crazy, but this November in particular is very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting indeed.
Greg, great to talk with you.
Always good to be with you guys. Thank you.
Hey, we know we're in a bye week, but if you need your football fix, After Further Review is waiting for you on the BYU TV app and on our YouTube page. Blaine Fowler, Dave Nixon, we roll through all the big moments from UCF. Take a sneak peek into the Utah game on BYU TV app, BYUSN.com. Check it out.
Hey, we're 9 days away from BYU at Utah, and the Utes are working on their quarterback situation, an injury update as well to one of their key receivers, plus Big 12 awards for BYU women's soccer and volleyball. This is BYU USN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. We're We're everywhere.
Yeah. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Dave McCann. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Cougar quarterback Jake Retzlaff named to the Davey O'Brien quarterback class of 2024. That makes him an official candidate for the Davey O'Brien Trophy, which is awarded the best college quarterback. The Cougars have won that award four times. That's more than any program. Ty Detmer won it twice. Steve Young, Jim McMahon also picked up the honor.
9 days away from BYU at Utah. Both teams on bye this week. Yesterday, Utah head coach, BYU alum, Kyle Whittingham gave an update on his quarterback situation with the Utes, saying Isaac Wilson and Brendan Rose will split reps 50-50 this week and a starter will be named later. Whittingham also added that wide receiver and a talented one, Money Parks, is out for the season with an injury.
Will this be Whittingham's last year in the rivalry?
I don't know. I legitimately do not know.
That'd be interesting. Men's hoops tonight, Colorado Christian's in town. It's an exhibition game. It's going to be packed. Biggest crowd ever for an exhibition game, at least since the Russians were here in 79. First look at BYU against an outside opponent. You can listen to the game beginning at 9 Eastern on the BYU radio app.
Speaking of exhibitions, BYU women's hoops beat up on Westminster 105-37 last night in their exhibition showdown, scoring 100 points in a game, even in an exhibition for the first time since 2019. Amari Whiting led BYU with 22. Delaney Gibb, the freshman, added 18. Kemri Congdon tacked on 15 points. BYU opens their season, an actual game, a week from today against Idaho.
105 points. Wow.
That's impressive.
Five BYU women's soccer players named to all Big 12 teams this week. First team, Allie Fryer. Avery Frischneck, first team. Second team, Mackenzie Vance. Mika Cromanhook, second team and all freshman team. And Lucy Kessler makes the all freshman team. Cougars play Oklahoma State Saturday in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City.
Brielle Kemivor of BYU Women's Volleyball named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week after recording her second career double-double, 14 kills, 12 blocks in a win against Colorado this past week.
BYU softball released its full 2025 schedule. Cougars will begin their 51-game, look at all those teams, 51 games. They'll start in San Diego, then they're going to go to Puerto Vallarta. Boy, let's go call those games.
Yep.
In Mexico.
And even Palm Springs at the Mary Nutter Collegiate
Fantastic.
Classic.
Big 12 play, Arizona State, that's the opener on March 6th.
BYU women's golf currently tied for 7th after 36 holes in the Nania Invitational in Kailua Kona, Hawaii. BYU's MJ Berrigan leads the way for the Cougars as she is tied at number 17 individually, 1 under par. The final round tees off later this morning.
And I'll bet it'll be windy. BYU Sports Nation gives a shout out to Bruce Brockbank, the men's golf coach, inducted into the Utah Golf Hall of Fame last night. Congratulations, coach.
I love that man. Bruce has done so much for BYU golf. After the break, we turn our attention to BYU's swim and dive. Emerson Edwards and Tatum Cooley join us ahead of their home opener this weekend. We get an update on their season. And guess what? It's going well. This is BYU Sports Nation. Sports Nation live in Studio B and back over to welcome a dynamic duo from BYU swim and dive, specifically Emerson Edwards, a senior from Columbia, South Carolina, and Tatum Cooley, who is from Mesa, Arizona in her sophomore season. Welcome as you rep BYU swim and dive.
We're here, baby.
Yes,
you are. Okay, so let's just start with the overarching question of, you know, Emerson, how do you feel like things are going for the state of BYU swim and dive right now?
Yeah, I think things are going awesome. We're off to a really good start. We've had some really good swims. In the sport of swimming, it's gotten faster and faster each year. And the times that are happening right now in the season are faster than they've ever been in the history of swimming. So we've been able to get up and race and go some fast times early on, which has been awesome.
Hmm. All right, same question for you, Tatum, as you assess it from the women's team side.
Yeah, I think the women are doing great this year. Like, the team camaraderie is building, the energy is building. We're swimming so fast this year. We're going like our conference times from last year, and we just have a huge positive trajectory right now.
Describe the vibe that's going on over that student athletic building where all the athletes cross. All these teams are doing well. The football team's in the top 10. Basketball's about to start. Going in the pool, there it's volleyball, soccer. What's the vibe like?
It's a party, baby. It's a party. I would say that
It's a party baby. That's the direction.
It's a party baby.
Quote of the day.
It's fun to win, honestly. You know, like, obviously, sometimes you go in a wave, but when you're winning and your hard work is paying off, I mean, what's better, you know? And you get to do it with your brothers and sisters, different teams, no matter what, it's Cougar Nation. So you get to do it together.
Tatum, do you feel the momentum from all the other sports into this one giant?
Oh, yeah. It feels like just a huge ball of energy coming together, and everyone's feeding off of each other, everyone's friends. We're all just having a great time right now. Mm.
What's the next step for BYU swim and dive as a whole?
Yeah.
What are the goals this season that are pushing you to reach newer levels?
Totally. I think the past year or two, we've definitely, as a guys and girls program, but me specifically talking about the guys, making it to a national level and making it to NCAAs every year, making that a standard. And so last year with all those guys making it, we're just trying to continue that standard, add on to it, and keep doing things on the national level.
Mm. Well, Tatum, you're already part of a school record, right? Set at the Big 12 Championships. Are you top that this year? What's the motivation to get more?
I think we have a lot of good potential this year. There are a lot of new people that have come in, and like even upperclassmen that have just stepped up this year. And I do think we can also make it to the national level this year. And, you know, so many records have already come down this season, and I think there's just a lot more to come.
And we know that Arizona State is outstanding
in
swim and dive. It's probably a massive understatement.
Yeah.
And so the goal is kind of literally to try and chase that and get a little bit closer to them and close that gap.
Totally.
So aside from Arizona State being the clear leader in the clubhouse, how's the rest of the competition around the Big 12?
Yeah, I mean, I love being in the Big 12 compared to MPSF, WCC, just because it's better competition, obviously. And being able to be against those guys, TCU, Arizona State, Utah now, all these guys coming in, it just makes it better, more fun, more electric. And our guys, you know, even though Arizona State's up here, they used to have Leon Marchand, who's like the best of the best.
Yeah, Arizona State swimmer, Dave.
Leon Marchand.
French phenom in the Olympics.
Of course.
You know, never count out the Cougars, that's what I say. Never count them out. Because you never know. When you have a lane, you have a block, you got a chance. Okay. So
Tatum, same question for you. How's the competition overall in the Big 12 Conference?
For me, I never experienced the MPSF, but coming in as a freshman into our new Big 12 first year, it was very nerve-wracking. But the competition, like Emerson said, if you have a block, if you have a lane, you have a chance. And I think we've shown that this year, that when we get up, we race. We don't back down. We don't give up. Like, we're here to compete. We're here to show everyone what BYU stands for and what BYU is. And I think that's what we've really shown in the Big 12 and how we've already stepped up so much by, you know, beating TCU and Utah already. And so we're here to play.
Go.
So your grandfather swam at BYU. Your dad was an All-American at Georgia. Were the two of you born to swim?
You could say so. I got to say go Dogs. My dad would kill me if I didn't say that.
Good, but yeah.
We'll allow it
because
they're not on BYU schedule yet.
Yeah. So,
as we grow up participating in sports, whether soccer, all of them, right? Yeah. What drew you to the pool and kept you in the pool?
I would say for me, obviously, my dad swimming. He was my coach my whole life. I think you guys probably remember last year, my little brother was on here.
Yeah.
We swim together. So having him and just having that environment of family with swimming, like, it definitely has helped for me.
Yeah, for me, I think it's a little bit different. My mom swam in high school. My dad was a professional wakeboarder, and so my mom just put us in swimming, like, growing up for, like, the survival skill, and it's an Arizona thing. And so I was also, like, a gymnast when I was younger, and I don't know why, but, like, in high school, I totally fell in love with the pool and everything about it. I just loved everything swimming.
Yes, all Big 12 second team performers, Emerson Edwards and Tatum Cooley, are on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, speaking of falling in love with the pool, you spend so much time there.
So much.
Especially swimmers and divers, people just do not understand the time commitment.
It's a part of us.
That is required to compete at this level. So if you wouldn't mind, walk us through your typical day as a Division I collegiate swimmer.
How about I'll take Monday through Wednesday? You got Thursday through Saturday.
Okay.
So Monday through Wednesday, you wake up 5:30. Now it's 40 degrees, so it's like a little
amazing.
Bit colder.
We love that.
You wake up, you go to the pool, they swim first and then we lift. But basically you lift and swim in the morning, so it's about 2.5 hours. And then you get back up at 2 p.m. after hopefully a nap, and you go for another 2 hours. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday is about 5 hours worth of work. And then Tuesday, Thursday is about 2 hours, but you can talk about the rest of the week.
Yeah, Thursdays, the only thing we have is in the afternoon practice from 2 to 4. We'll have like 45, 30 minutes of mobility before that in the weight room with our weight coach, Donnie. And then Friday morning practice and weights, and then afternoon practice from 2 to 4. And then Saturdays are 2 hours in the morning.
We get to sleep in. It's at 7. Nice.
7. Oh, we do get so to sleep in.
We get to sleep in.
Nice. Or at least watch cartoons.
Something.
Something.
Wild commitment and devotion.
Somewhere there's homework in there, right? And then eating, and then there's not much else. It's
yeah.
That's the trifecta. And then
yeah, that's like I said.
Those other less important things.
Yeah. That gets in there.
Like food in school.
Yeah.
You found some time to get engaged, right? Yeah. At the Kansas State
football game. Did you guys get to see that?
I saw some of it on social media.
We may be aware of that.
So yeah. explain what went down. What'd you do?
Well, first off, Macy Cropper, I love you. second off, it was cool because I got to meet a lot of people. I had to jump through a lot of loops to be able to do something like that. But
she's down on the field cheerleading.
She was. She was doing
the fight
song.
And you had to get down on the field to.
And I like being in front of people, that kind of stuff. But that was like the first time in my life where, like, 1 minute before I was about to go on the field, I about had a heart attack.
I can't do this.
Holy crap! This is
because what you're about to do down there is important.
Really important. Yeah. And I had this like fat rock in my pocket. I'm about to get on a knee, and it was awesome. It was surreal. But before, I definitely felt the nerves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did she see it coming?
I don't think she did. Which
she
was
just
the best
turned around,
part.
And then there were you.
Yeah,
on
Yeah, they
knee.
Just flipped her. She turned around, and then everybody just went crazy. But
wow,
that's all I remember. That's all I remember.
Did you send Kalani a note? Because 38-9 really helped create.
I
that
need
moment.
To, Kalani. You're the man. I appreciate you. That helped a lot.
Well, best of luck to both Thank of you.
Did you give him an A on the proposal?
Yeah, I mean, I showed up and to the football game, and like as a joke, I asked him. I was like, "So when are you like proposing to Macy?" And he like pulls out the ring, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, you're doing it today!"
Like an hour. Don't lose that ring.
I told her, now it's her. Ring. She can't lose it.
Now it's hers.
And it was a frenzy right. in that crowd too. So I'm like, crazy. Secure that thing.
Yeah. What a great moment.
Make it happen. Hey, nice great job. To have both of you here. Best of luck to you on Saturday. Against UNLV, home opener, support swim and dive.
Come out.
Hey, it's a bye week.
Baby.
It's a bye week.
Yes, 1 p.m.
Come watch swim and dive, 1 p.m.
Come to the swim meet, baby.
Yes, let's go. It's a party, baby, right?
It's a party.
It's a party.
It's a party, baby.
Guys, thank you. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, if you missed BYU football with Kalani Sitake last night, that's usually a party, too. It's waiting for you at BYUSN.com. Mata'ava Ta'ase is the guest. Lots of fun there as well.
We wrap up today's show. More responses to our question of the day. Where would you put BYU football in the college football playoff rankings? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation on demand, my friends. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio app. Subscribe, rate, and review. Our question of the day. We're 6 days out from the first college football playoff rankings of the season. Where do you think the committee, if the poll were out today, would put BYU in that power ranking setup?
BYU for Life 25 on Instagram. The committee probably still has doubts and thinks it's unsustainable, so probably 11.
Again, no undefeated team, no undefeated Power 4 team in the history of the college football playoff poll at this point has ever been lower than number 9.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah, it's just saying. At BF Webster on X, I believe BYU will come in at least number 10. If it's any worse than that, there is some serious prejudice going on. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Dave, you take this from Buckaroo691 on Instagram.
Since I'd like the team to still have a little chip on their shoulder heading to Utah, I'd like a number 13.
That's well played.
Kalani probably would too. Maybe even 20. He takes that disrespect and then he does something.
Love the tie. The tie to being picked to finish 13th in the Big 12. That would be interesting to be one spot outside the top 12, right? At number 13.
That'd be good.
Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Jake Retzlaff for the ambassador that he has been and is for BYU. It's Ty Detmer's birthday 57.
Yes.
Believe that.
Speaking of birthdays, it's also our colleague Jerem Jordan's birthday. He's got the day off. Hope he's enjoying some time with his family as well. Send him a shout out at Jerem Jordan on social media and tell him how much you miss him today. Let's go. Happy birthday to all those guys.
That, yeah.
Yes, he would. Our thanks to today's guest, Greg Wrubell. And you just heard from him from BYU Swim and Dive, Emerson Edwards and Tatum Cooley.
A good vibe to the show today.
Yeah.
A lot going on. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Dave McCann, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Tom Holmo, who will reveal his new Halloween costume tomorrow. What will it be?
What could it be?
Tune in. Go Cougs.